When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Trevor Woods here from SB Nation's Maize and Brew with another edition of Getting to Know Michigan's Opponent. This week, Michigan's taking on the Illinois Fighting Illini, who are having a year that they've been pretty darn fun to watch. 7-3 on the season. They got off to a 7-1 start. They've lost their last two. Today I'm speaking with Brett Bayhearns from WCI3, the CBS station in Champaign, Illinois. Brett's covered the team all year long. How are we doing today, Brett?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Really happy you're on. And so before the season, expectations, what were they like in Champaign? Did a lot of fans and pundits feel this team could not only have a winning record, but be very, very competitive, even in some losses? Both sides of the ball, certain metrics they rank high in. Was that expected before the season, or is Brett Bielema kind of surprised everyone?
In year two of Brett Bielema, he's definitely caught a lot of people by surprise. They went 5-7 last year and should have made a bowl game, to be honest, lost a couple of games that were very competitive, very close. And the fact that I'm saying that they were competitive and close is an upgrade from where this program was. Under Lovie Smith, that was largely not the case. Under Tim Beckman, that was hardly the case at all, and that's dating back a decade ago now. So a big improvement in just 2 years for Brett Bielema. And it's funny how perspective works, right? Vegas had Illinois at 4.5. I think a bowl was the goal for this program all along. And, you know, they have only been to what will now be their second bowl game, dating back to 2015 this year, 2019. They were in the Red Box Bowl, and this is going to be just that second bowl game. So perspective is funny because, okay, you clinch a bowl in October, and now all of a sudden for Illini Nation, they're thinking Big Ten West, because overall the West is not very good this year, as you well know. And so they were in complete control of their own destiny to start the month of November, and have lost back-to-back games and have not looked like the same team they were in October and even September. And they're coming off their first Big Ten West loss to Purdue of the season. They were 0-2 against East teams before last weekend, had won all their West games. And so now at 7-3, Illini Nation on their heels for sure, heading up to the Big House on Saturday to play a very, very good Michigan team. And they have certainly the respect of Illinois, but it is funny. I think these teams do mirror each other a little bit. They both want to run the ball, and they both want to play stout defense. And overall, they've done those two elements very well this season.
Really, really good running game. Chase Brown, 1,442 yards on the season to this point, 7 touchdowns, averaging 5.2 yards per carry. I know he got banged up at the end of last week's game against Purdue. How is he trending?
His status is still unknown, but Brett Bielema on Monday, the last time we had chatted with him, and we will chat with him on Thursday again, he just said he's trending in the right direction, along with backup running back Josh McCray, who's only played three games this season. He got hurt in the opener. McCray is a true sophomore, very, very good, talented running back, big guy. He stands about 6'3", 240. Chase is not that, right? Like, Chase is, you know, maybe 6 foot, maybe probably 5'11", 205. So if Chase does not play, a huge, huge advantage for the Wolverines. Chase is Illinois. He is the offense. He is what they do. He's been healthy this season, which hasn't always been the case in his career, and he's managed to stay healthy until last week. It was like the second to last play of the game that he twisted. It looked like his ankle, don't know that confirmed, we just say leg injury at this point, but twisted his right ankle pretty good and had to be helped back to the medical tent on the field. Did walk off the field under his own power, watched him walk back to the locker room. Was the last guy on the field along with his twin brother, Sydney, who plays safety for the Illini. So he did walk off the field under his own power. His status is unknown. I'm going to guess, fairly certain of this, we don't get to watch practice any of it, but he's not going to practice this week. He'll be a game time decision leading up to Saturday's kick.
The one positive you could say, even if Brown isn't able to go, quarterback Tommy DeVito having a pretty good year, 70% completion percentage. DeVito, he threw his fair share of interceptions as a member of Syracuse, but that really hasn't been the case this season. His touchdown to interception ratio, quite solid, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. DeVito, not necessarily a dual threat quarterback, but he does have pretty good functional ability, can extend some plays. So my question to you is, if it does indeed have to become more of a pass-heavy approach from the Illinois offense, how do you think they can do in general? Because DeVito, and they do have some weapons at wideout too. So it's not like they're, Michigan just faced a Nebraska team. They beat 34-3. That was, ended up being on their third string quarterback. And absolute mess across the board. This still seems, even if Brown's out, that Michigan still can be tested via the pass. What do you think?
No doubt, the receiving core for Illinois is not where it needs to be for Illinois to be successful long term. They have a couple of solid guys, but one of those is hurt in Pat Bryan. He was in concussion protocol coming out of last week's game against Purdue. His status is unknown, if whether he clears protocol in time for the game or not. Bielema told us that on Monday. But Isaiah Williams, number one, is a game breaker, and he had offers from pretty much everybody across the country coming out of high school. They were mainly at receiver, though. Illinois offered him a chance to play quarterback, which he did for a couple of years. Now he's in his second full season playing receiver, more of a slot guy. You're not going to see him out catching vertical passes very often. But if Chase Brown does not go, I would expect a healthy dose of Isaiah Williams, and they will get him in motion. They will get him the ball in a variety of different ways, and he's been a big key for Illinois' success this season. DeVito has been a huge upgrade for the Illini this year, and you guys very well remember Illinois' old quarterback.
Yes.
Not saying that Brandon was bad, but like, DeVito's just been an upgrade, and it's pretty simple when you look at his completion percentage and what he's doing. He's on track for a program record completion percentage. And the one thing I will say is that he doesn't throw the ball downfield a lot. And I think that's been a fair critique of Illinois' offense this year under new first-year offensive coordinator Barry Lunny Jr., is that they really don't have that downfield threat. They're going to dink and dunk. They're going to get the ball into their tight ends quite a bit and really just look for those chain-moving possession catches. And so, you know, Brian Hightower is a threat a little bit down the field. He has come on as of late. But you're really not going to see Illinois try and put the ball 30, 40 yards down the field. And to be honest, they really haven't had to because of Chase Brown. So that will be very interesting to see if they even try and can explore – trying to get the ball downfield, because I think, like I said, it's been a fair critique of this team this year that they really haven't had to open up a lot of offense because Chase has been so good. And Chase gets 30 plus carries every single game. I mean, it's pretty incredible what he's been able to do so far this year, the nation's leading rusher, without getting hurt up until last week. And so I think a lot of fans, I know they're going to be on pins and needles waiting to see if Chase Brown can go, because if he does not, like I mentioned before, Illinois really does not stand much of a chance in this game.
Yeah, so Michigan, the week following the game on Saturday against Illinois, they head to Columbus, Ohio to face on their rival Ohio State. Hopefully there'll be a lot on the line for Michigan in that one, depending the outcome of the game against Illinois. But I think this is a great, with no disrespect to Illinois, Illinois could pull off an upset on Saturday, but a great tune-up game, a great challenge, a great game to make you aware, perhaps some cold water in your face to show some deficiencies. Illinois' defense, they do mirror Michigan's defense in a lot of ways. Michigan ranks first in total defense. Illinois ranks second in total defense. They rank third in scoring defense, team passing efficiency defense. They rank first. They've intercepted the most passes in the nation. They have been absolutely stellar on third down, limiting opponents on third down. They rank fourth. What have you seen from this Illinois defense from a schematic standpoint and a personnel standpoint? What has made them so successful through 10 games?
They're very unique under now second-year defensive coordinator Ryan Walters, who's a Broyles Award candidate, and he's very much deserving. He's Illinois' first coordinator making $1 million-plus a year, got a raise last year, and very well-deserving, because up until a couple of weeks ago, these last few weeks, they've given up some more points. They were the number one scoring defense in the country, giving up less than 10 points per game. They have been very stout, and they are unique because they play man. And so you're going to see Illinois coming out not playing much zone at all. They line up. They're aggressive. They blitz. They stunt. They play man over the top a lot. And they're just trying to beat you. They've got aggressive guys in the back or in the secondary who can do just that, go up and get a ball, beat you in a variety of different ways. And the one thing that is really going to be questionable coming into this Michigan game is injuries. And the injury bug hitting Illinois at the worst time here. They were very, very fortunate throughout the first two-thirds of the season to not have many injuries at all. And one of their cornerbacks, Taz Nicholson, number 10, he is out for the season, got hurt last week, and dislocated his wrist during the game and had surgery actually like while the game was still going on. Pretty incredible, but he is out. He's their number two cornerback. Last week Illinois was playing up to its sixth cornerback and Purdue able to go beat that pretty easily. Illinois does have a all Big Ten cornerback in Devin Witherspoon, number 31. You're going to want to watch out for him. I would not expect Michigan to throw much at him because he is playing at an All-American level this season. Very, very good cornerback. He will most definitely be an NFL draft pick in April. But on the other side of the ball, I would expect Michigan to go after whoever is playing there for Illinois, because it's going to be a fourth, fifth, or sixth string guy, likely a redshirt freshman. We'll see if Tyler Strain can come back, number 20. He got hurt last week right after he got an interception. But they're aggressive, and I feel like they're very unique in that sense. Just watching college football, you see a lot of teams play zone, and they don't do that. They're going to get after you. They're going to challenge you. And we'll see how much they play in that because of those injuries. But overall, they want to get after you. And Johnny Newton, number 4 in the middle, and Keith Randolph, number 88, their two defensive tackles, have played at all Big Ten levels this season as well. They're very, very good. And they're just going to try and line up and take it to you and beat you. And so far this season, it's worked, especially in that 6-game winning streak through September and October. Last couple of weeks, they've been banged up a little bit. So we'll see how they perform at the Big House.
Now, could you give us one area, weakness, I suppose you could say, on defense and offense that leaves them a little vulnerable or something they can work on?
Yeah, no doubt. I think on defense, like I mentioned, it's the cornerback opposite Devin Witherspoon this week. Whoever lines up there, I would expect Michigan to go after. And Illinois' linebacker play overall hasn't been stout. Their defensive line has been very, very good. They usually run either a 3-4 or 3-5 front, and they'll mix in a 4-man front occasionally. But I would say they're a linebacker, secondary, very, very good. They lead the country in interceptions, like you had mentioned. But linebacker, the other outside corner. And then offensively, the weakness is really at wide receiver. In the past few weeks, it's been the offensive line has not played all that great. And I know it sounds weird. You got the nation's leading rusher and your offensive line hasn't been good. But that's been a big reason why they've lost back-to-back games. They haven't had to kind of push on the offensive line or protection for Tommy DeVito the last few weeks that have really led them to all that success in beating Iowa in a 9-6 game. I mean, yeah, 9-6. Like, it was a trench warfare game, you know what I mean, in Champaign, to beat Wisconsin. You know, they had to have great line play, and they did. And the last couple of weeks, that's been a little iffy. So I'm curious to see how that plays out on Saturday.
Yeah, I am too, against a Michigan defense that has certainly been winning battles in the trenches of late. Last one for you, Brett. Do you have any overall predictions for this one?
You know what? I think it is interesting, like you had mentioned, with the big game next week, right, for Michigan, and how do they look past an Illinois team that's lost back-to-back games, you know, that had a driver's seat to represent the Big Ten West, and that's all but lost now after the loss to Purdue last week. I mean, Illinois needs to win this game to have any chance at the West, and they need to get some help as well. And going into the month, all they had to do was win two out of their two out of four, but even into last week, all they had to win was two out of their last three with Northwestern still on the schedule to clinch that spot in Indy, and they fumbled it. You know, they fumbled their opportunity. And so I just think Illinois is still a solid team. They're not a great team by Illinois standards. They're having a fantastic season. But you have to remember the standard of what Illinois football has been the last really 50 years. You know, not many winning teams in there. Illinois hasn't won eight games dating back to 2007 when they went to the Rose Bowl. I mean, put that in perspective, right? That's the kind of season Illinois is having. And so a win here would be a top five road win all time in program history, if not number one, to knock off the number three team in the nation. So do I think Illinois can cover an 18-point spread? Absolutely. I think they're capable of that if Chase Brown plays. If Chase does not play, then I think that's going to be tough sledding. And I think they'll hang around. I really do. I know Michigan's been really good in the second half this year, but I would expect a close-ish game at half. And if you can hang around, you never know. So we'll see what happens, but it should be a fun atmosphere. I know that much. Only two players have played there at Michigan for Illinois. And so, you know, it'll be a little bit of a shock, I think, to the system, as the Big House usually is for teams that come in there. But we'll see. It should be a fun game, a fun atmosphere. And Illinois needing a win to have any last desperation hope at a Big Ten West representation in Indy.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. And Jim Harbaugh said this week that Illinois, that they have the Big Ten West on the line and that they're going to be considering this a championship game. So that's kind of what Harbaugh is trying to instill in his players, that, hey, watch out or they'll punch you in the mouth. So I expect Illinois to come out swinging, and whether they land enough punches or not remains to be seen, but I can't wait, and I know you can't either. But hey, Brett, thank you so much for coming on. Would you like to tell folks where they can find you online and everywhere else?
Sure. Yeah, so you can find it at WCIA3Brett1T on Twitter. Like I mentioned, I'm sports director at Channel 3 in Champaign. We'll have a crew up there. I actually will not be at the Big House Saturday. I'm heading to Las Vegas to cover Illinois basketball. After all, Illinois is a basketball school. And it's going to be fun on the hard court this year between Illinois and Michigan without Kofi Coburn here at Illinois, and that Hunter Dickinson and Kofi Coburn match the last couple of years has been fun. But so I'll be out in Vegas, but we'll be watching from out there bright and early on Saturday morning. And we'll have a crew. My colleague Andy Olson will be up there at the Big House. His first trip, so he's looking forward to that and covering the game. And we'll see what Illinois can do.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing him up in the press box, and we look forward to talking to you later on this basketball season when the Illini and Wolverines square off. But for now, thanks to Brett, and this has been Trevor Woods. You can follow me on Twitter at WoodsFootball. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts, and I'll also be speaking to you after Michigan plays Illinois for the post-game reaction podcast. Take care. Until then.